It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Kia ora, Mayor Phil Goff. How are you this morning?
Atamarie, Rachel. I'm very good, thank you. You know, considering that we're about to enter into the fifth week of Alert Level 4 lockdown, which was disappointing. But, the good thing is that we're mainly all pretty fit and well, and we don't have an overwhelmed hospital system.
Yes.
And the vaccination rates are coming up at a great rate of knots.
Yeah, it is very good to see. And I think people are not necessarily surprised that we're in this fifth week. It is disappointing, as you say, but it's better to be here than have to come back here again. What's the mood around the city at the moment? Are you in touch with different groups supporting people at the moment? Because there are people doing it really hard out there in lockdown.
Yeah. I'm in touch, but not in a physical sense. That's the nature of our Alert Level 4. You can't go out and talk to people. But there are two. There's a lot of pressure points. But look, overwhelmingly, the mood that I get back from people is we've come this far. We've got to stay the course. Let's finish the job, and we're still capable of suppressing the spread through the community of this virus. Let's do it. If we stop now, and there's a further outbreak, there's no going back. And you know, New South Wales and Victoria are both really thrown up their hands and said this is out of control. You know, we're still locking down, but we literally can't control it. 1,200-1,300 new cases a day in New South Wales, 300 or 400 in Victoria. We got a bit of a shock yesterday with 33, albeit 7 in 1 household. So we're all anxiously watching what will happen at 1 o'clock today. But the mood that the Prime Minister exuded, and she didn't say, look, we'll be back at level 3 next Wednesday, lightly. She knew that having created that expectation, even qualifying it in principle, they are really confident they can do that. But in the meantime, to answer your question, who's hurting? Well, people on lowish incomes whose incomes are reduced further because they can't work and they might be just getting 80% wage subsidy, that takes them below subsistence. So we're doing a lot of work with food banks, making sure that where there are gaps, we can try to close those gaps and that we can get more funding into it. And Carmel Spiloni just announced another $10 million, which is really helpful. The other group that's hurting are businesses that are, you know, they had a pretty good period between the lockdowns. That increased their resilience. But some of them are reaching the edge of their endurance. They've got the wage subsidy, they've got the employment resurgence support scheme, and that's been extended again, a second payment starting from the end of this week. But there are people that are undoubtedly feeling that pressure, and I'm sort of in touch with the government to say, look, there are some pressures here, you know, what can we do to help? And I think the general mood is we've got to see it through this time, but once we get up, you know, hopefully to the high 80s vaccination, then we may have to think whether we can keep doing lockdowns. It may be with high vaccinations, with extended work on ICU, and with, I think, a move that ultimately will have to take place to have a specialised quarantine facilities to stop leakage into the community, then ultimately we will have to live with this. But we shouldn't do that now. We should actually do everything we can to get maximum protection, get our systems in place before that happens, because at the moment we're doing so much better than any other country in the world.
With that in mind, looking forward to the future, the nearish future, we are seeing around the rest of the country where they're already at Delta Alert Level 2, which we know looks very different to the last Alert Level 2s we've been used to. It's going to mean a lot of changes for businesses again, particularly in the hospitality industry, particularly in the arts and culture industries as well. Is the city in Auckland, are we already planning for what that might look like? Are we looking at more permits for outdoor dining, for example? That's been something I've seen a lot of calls for.
Yeah, we are working through with our regulatory people whether, for example, if you've got alert level two, Delta level two, can we move people out onto the footpaths, and allow for more spacing, etc. And there are probably changes that we can make in that, and we're just working through what obstacles might exist. There's certain regulations under Sale of Liquor Act, etc., that you need to be, that we might not be able to change. But we're looking at ways in which council can be more flexible through alert level two and letting that happen. And I think if we can make that happen, that'd be a great thing for the hospitality industry.
Now, something I know a lot of people who listen to this show will be interested to hear about is there any support or any consideration from the council coming to how specifically the live music industry and also the arts and performance industries, we're talking about theatre, we're talking about live art, how are they going to be supported going forward? Because obviously we'd like to see perhaps some more financial assistance from the government, considering that you can't really have a concert with only 50 people who need to be spread out at a space like level two. Is the council considering how they might be able to support those groups?
Yeah, the best support, obviously, is if we can get back to level one, and that's where the focus is, because you're not going to have...
But we will inevitably have to spend some time in level two. What's that going to look like from the council perspective?
Yeah, I'm not sure, how much assistance can be given in that area. I mean, right across the board, and I'm having discussions, with government ministers about this. There are industries that, there is a real cost to pay for a lockdown. Screen production industry is another one, for example, where, people that were coming to New Zealand to do it, if it's locked down and we can't get in and out, maybe we'll look somewhere else. There are those big costs right across the board, and we've got big costs. Construction industry will do a bit better under level three because they can operate.
So live council
still can't.
So council is in some discussions with central government around this.
Yeah, we're just pointing out where there are some real pressures going on. And the general answer that I get back, and it's the one I've already given you, is the best thing that we can help in the creative arts sphere is to suppress this virus now and allow us to go back to what we had for 169 days before this latest incursion. That's the very best thing that we can do for live music, culture, and for the economy generally. And we're reasonably confident that things come back afterwards. If you can actually eliminate it, then you get we got the best recovery of any Western country in the world, because things could go back to normal apart from the closed borders. And that's really what we want to achieve again. That's the best help we can give.
Well, this is something I'm sure we'll come back to when we are looking closer to a level two space. But I did want to talk about some non-COVID things this morning. Muriwai Beach, we're seeing some changes to the rules around how people can access that beach by vehicle. Can you explain a little bit what's going on there?
Yeah, look, a lot of people love using the beach to drive down. There's only two beaches, one down the south of Auckland and at Muriwai, where you can drive on the beach. And there's about 57,000 people a year that use it for driving. But that in itself, not most people, but a minority of people are causing problems. They're, taking the trail bikes and the four-wheel drives up into the dunes. They're damaging the environment. They're putting horse riders, pedestrians, swimmers, surfers, etc. at risk by mad driving. And a ranger told me the other day that every year he has to pull about 10 vehicles out of the surf because people don't know what they're doing. So we're trying to, without taking away the right of people to drive on the beach, to reduce the damage that's being done. So one of the things, you have a period of time that the beach is closed, and that's usually from New Year's Eve through to about the 17th of January, and that will be instituted again. There is talk, there's only three entrances to the beaches. There is talk of a permit system, a paid permit system, with gates that you can open when you wave the permit in front of the sensor. That may be a way of ensuring that those that are using the beach can also help with the remediation and the controls that are needed on it, and to keep people that aren't permitted off the beach. And there's a broader education campaign as well about, you know, this is what you should do and how you should do it.
Are we getting to a space where you think we're starting to see perhaps a phasing out of this, or we should be seeing a phasing out of driving on the beaches? It seems like almost quite an old-fashioned consideration of that ecological space. Is it something we should be moving away from?
In the widespread consultations that we did, a lot of them face-to-face, there was only about one in five, about 20%, that wanted permanent closure. The others went respectively for seasonal closures, restricting the vehicle access at some core times, and controlled access. And those are the, you know, two-thirds of the people, more than two-thirds of the people, wanted one or other of those two options, and those are the options that we're looking at. We do need to consult if we have a paid permit system to get onto the beach, and that would be done in the course of the annual plan.
And just briefly, before we let you go, we've had a few messages over the last couple of days, and I am keen to hear about it. What's happening with the bins at the moment? Obviously, rubbish is still being collected at Level 4, which is great. It's an essential service. For people who live in the bin tag areas where they have to pay for their tags, is that system still as it normally is? We've had some queries about it.
Yeah. So as you're aware, in the old Auckland and Manukau legacy areas, we pay for our rubbish collection through our rates. In the rest of the city, you've got a pay-as-you-throw system, and we're actually looking at the wider system to see whether we standardise a system right across the city, and if we did that, it would be more likely built into the rate system. It would be cheaper and probably more effective. But in the meantime, people are still required to put tags on their bins, but I don't think the tags are being taken off for health and safety reasons by the collectors. So it's kind of, I think it's working on an honesty system where you dispose of the tag, you've paid for it, they've checked that the tag was on the bin, they've picked it up, but they haven't taken the tag off as they would normally do. So it's about health and safety. You don't want people that are exposed to having to physically handle the tags and the risk that might pose to the spread of COVID-19. So that's where that's at, but watch the space in terms of council consideration as to whether we have one standard system right across the whole city. And we're moving next year, I think it is, into a food waste collection system, so that we turn food waste, instead of landfilling it, we turn it into compost and to methane gas, which is far more ecologically friendly. And you'd pay a service for your food bin as well. But food's a big percentage of the overall rubbish, so you probably wouldn't be filling your rubbish bin as often if you're using the food scrap bin.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always good to have you on the show. Take care, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday, and we'll just cross our fingers and keep doing the things we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Eh? And kia kaha, te reo Māori. Happy Māori Language Week, and good to see the attention that's getting this year. And keep safe, everybody. Keep following the rules. Let's work together. Don't do a trip to Wanaka. even if you could afford to, it's not the right thing to do. If we follow the rules, we do the right thing, I think we can get through this.
Cool. Kia pai tōra. We'll see you next week.
Ka kite anō.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.